style, trend, life in Seoul, Korea only, weekend destination, people interviews, and more you can find on 101.3 Main Street.
For all the bookworms out there, we've got good news. Every Tuesday at this time, we'll be opening our Main Street Book Club, where we discuss interesting books, authors, and the stories behind them. If you're not a bookworm, well, this is your chance to brush up on the books you never read or you never will read. Today, we are joined by Charles Montgomery, professor in the English Interpretation and Translation Department at Dongguk University, and also founder of the Korean Literature in Translation website at www.ktlit.com. Morning, Charles.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Yes, and we have a perfect topic for Valentine's Day. The topic today is love.
Yeah, it is. And it's about a little bit about how love, and particularly in literature, has been expressed differently in Korean literature, really expressed differently in classical Korean literature, and even still expressed differently in translation in modern literature.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, we will get to that. But love does seem to be a very, very common and popular subject for fictions.
It is, but surprisingly, it is not as popular in Korean fiction as it is in other fictions.
Oh, is that right?
And this is for a couple of reasons. Mm-hmm. One is historically, traditional Korean literature was very, very strongly influenced by Confucianism. And Confucianism didn't really have romantic love in it.
Mm-hmm.
In Confucianism, everything was duty and relationship was to your superior, sort of. So in the classical period, there just really wasn't that much love literature. Love literature tended to be written towards kings and princes.
Uh-huh.
So you start with that basis, and it's the equivalent of the romantic love stories of the 16th and 17th century in English aren't there because of that. So you don't have these courtly love stories. You don't have knights and you don't have princesses.
Not in proper literature anyway. We have a lot of folk tales.
Oh, yeah,
involving
well, the
around
folk tales,
love.
Yeah. And the folk tales can involve love in very earthy
mm-hmm.
ways
mm-hmm.
sometimes. Yeah, the folk tales are a whole different thing that I don't talk about as much because they're not traditional fiction in the sense
right,
that I talk
right.
about. So you start with that, and then basically it isn't until the 20th story that the notion of romantic love comes into Korean culture and Korean literature with Lee Kwang-soo's famous first, what was called the first modern novel, Heartless,
mm-hmm.
which is about romantic love and one of the first stories that actually dealt with the idea of women being able to choose their partner based on their feelings rather than family arrangements.
When did this come out?
This came out in 1917.
Oh.
In Korean. I'm not sure when it first came out in translation uh-huh. in English. It has been translated a lot.
I bet it was scandalous at the time.
Well, it was scandalous, and many scandalous things were going on at that time because the only people who could really, within Korean society, the only people who could read this book and actually make any use of it were wealthy people who could send their children to Japan. So this was also aimed at a very, very small part of the Korean culture at the time. And while it was scandalous and it was wildly popular, it really didn't have that much impact. And I won't explain it, but I think our listeners will probably know. You also at the same time had Japanese colonialism
yeah.
affecting everything at the time. So as you move along, love starts. And then the final thing is that Korean literature has always been very national because modern Korea has always been faced with powerful national issues,
mm-hmm.
colonialism, civil war,
yeah.
industrialization. So within those narratives, there's just not that much space for just like sort of happy, fluffy love stories.
Uh-huh.
Now, this has changed a little. And so if you are looking for a last-minute present and you're going to run to Kyobo today or any other bookstore, there are basically three kinds of stories that you'll be looking for. There's
okay.
the young love lost story. This
mm-hmm.
is a very traditional story. There's the sort of blunt love unexpressed, and what I kind of call the anti-love story, although that may not be fair.
Uh-huh.
And the most famous young love lost story is a Korean favorite that you probably read in high school if you went to high school in Korea, and that is
talk about Sonagi.
Sonagi, of course.
By Feng Sunan.
Yeah, because if you go to I think Gangwon-do,
mm-hmm.
there's actually a Sonagi village that
yeah.
I've been to that's 100%. It's acres and acres dedicated to Sonagi. Sonagi really is the love story that has most influenced the Korean psyche in a way. And you see reflections of Tsunagi in other stories too. And these are stories, and this story, in which true young love sort of flourishes briefly, mm-hmm. innocently too, and then circumstance cuts it off mm-hmm. before it can go on. And so this is a pretty – and Tsunagi, by the way, it translates literally to a brief, intense rainstorm. And that's the metaphor for the love.
Yeah.
So Tsunagi is a nice semi-traditional love story in that vein.
What's its English title? Does it have an English title?
It normally is just translated as Tsunagi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen it translated as anything else. Mm-hmm. And this is the young girl in this who dies is kind of a stock character in Korean novels, a young woman who either dies before she marries or gets married and then the husband quickly dies.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of flowering of love is out there. And Tsunagi, if you want to start, get a decent understanding of Korean literature in a short work, Hwang Soon-won's Tsunagi is definitely the place to start.
Mm-hmm. So that was the first kind of love you can find in Korean fiction.
Yeah. Also, I would mention Kim Young-ik's Love in Winter. Kim Young-ik is another author, and it's just another example of that kind of story. You see that story, young, passionate love that is never expressed. And mm-hmm. then there are other kinds of love that may not quite be appropriate for Valentine's Day when we think of Hearts and Flowers, but it's in there. And that's the blunt love unexpressed. And the best example of this, and you may read this in high school too, is Hyun Chin Gun's The Lucky Day,
uh-huh.
which is a sad story of a man who really, really does love his wife, can't express it, mm-hmm. has the very, very best day of his life, and returns home to discover that even though he's had this beautiful day, his wife has died.
Yeah.
And he's incredibly sad. And so it sort of also fits the love lost narrative.
Yeah, and I think that kind of speaks of what Korean men, the traditional Korean men anyway, think about love. It's not something that you express every day to your loved ones.
Yeah, that's actually, I hadn't exactly thought of it that way, but that's that's a good interpretation, because all the way through the day you hear it's nagging at him in a way. As you read it, it's nagging at him in a way. But he simply doesn't have the terms until she's dead and no longer there to hear him to just come out and say something simple and direct.
A lot of Korean men have that problem.
Well,
a problem with expressing themselves.
I married an American woman, so I don't... At any rate, so there are a lot of similar stories to this, which include absentee or cheating husbands or husbands who beat their wives or who do all these things. And yet, in most of those stories, and this is partly an outcome of the Confucian influence, in most of those stories, the basic structure of the family is still assumed to be premised on some kind of love.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the anti-love story, which you don't want to do today. And this is a new one written a lot by female authors, and it's a proto-feminist kind of love story in which love is revealed to be a purely social construct to sort of keep women in their place, doing their thing. And Park Won-seo, actually, in her later career, wrote mm-hmm. a lot about this kind of thing, about middle-class wives being sort of getting into marriages through love, in quotation marks, but then being trapped in this kind of loveless social construct which they can't get out of. And when women were first beginning to write, they wrote it at a very different kind. Or when women first became a topic and love first became a topic, there were stories in which love is just gone.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two examples of this kind of story that I'd mention. Again, these are stories that if you're Korean, you probably read in high school, were forced to read, so you probably don't enjoy the way I enjoy them. Kim Dong-in's Potato and Hyun Jin-gon's Fire. Potato is probably Kim Dong-in, who's very famous, literary award named after Kim Dong-in. He has a... I can't remember where, down south somewhere, he has a literary museum mm-hmm. that I've been to. Mm-hmm. And Potato is a portrait of a woman just destroyed by a lack of love. The heroine is diligent, forthright, marries a man with the best intentions, going to make it all work. And the man turns out to be a bad guy. She starts this long, slow decline into prostitution and crime and dies. So these are not the... This is not the stories for today, but they do express one aspect of it. The story for today, as I said, if you're going to go to Kyobo, is go get Kim Yoo-jung's Camellias.
Okay.
Camellias is a very short book with three stories of three different kinds of love. Camellias is love across class lines. It's a first love story. A kind of bumpkinish boy who doesn't understand falls in love with a slightly higher class girl who's mm-hmm. also in love with him. And it's a really amusing story of how, through sort of slapstick, they come to realize that they love each other, and at the end, you actually have the promise of a love affair that is somehow going to work out.
Mm,
very funny.
A happy ending.
Very
rare.
And Kim Yu-jung, by the way, I should also say, if you read French, that he wrote a similar story that's been translated into French called Spring Spring.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, same character names, even though it's two different stories. And then the other two stories are also love stories, although they are a little bit harsher. The Scorching Heat is a story of kind of tragic love. It's like a little bit like The Lucky Day, except the husband lets his wife know he loves her.
Mm.
She's dying. He's carrying her around in Seoul on the hottest day of the year, trying to find her medical health. And at the end, they walk home without that help. She knows she's going to die. She is just crying hysterically and telling him what he needs to do after she is gone.
Okay.
And Camellia's ends, as I said, in slapstick, and I was kind of laughing and impressed, and then I read The Scorching Heat, and I thought, oh, that's so sad.
Aww.
And then the final story in that collection is A Wonder in the Valleys, which is Fall Somewhere Between. It's a wandering woman enters a small settlement, and as the story works on, you realize that she has a husband she loves who is also ill and is in the hills, and they also manage to successfully go off into the sunset, although it's unclear whether it's going to be a cold night or a warm night.
Uh-huh, okay.
So that's the short version of the love story, and that's the book to get. The Camellias by Kim Yu-jung. Wrap it up with some flowers, and I think you should be okay.
Yeah. Well, the Camellias, the two stories in the Camellias collection had happy endings, but the three categories of love, as written in Korean literature you gave earlier, they're all sad loves.
Yes, and I should say that this is partly also a function of what has been translated.
Mm.
Right. There's a second barrier to people who read Korean literature in English, and that is that the tendency has been to translate the serious works first, of course.
Yeah.
This is what you do when you translate.
Okay.
So lighthearted things, you know, there was some controversy everyone knows about Shin Kyung-suk's Please Look After Mom, Omarul Potake, which in Korean was treated not always as a serious book because it really is kind of a melodrama, family melodrama.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But once it got translated, you know, it's a family love story.
Yeah.
It became a monstrous hit just because it is that kind of tearjerker.
So perhaps translators can take a lesson from the Please Look After Mom case.
Translators can take a lesson and have taken a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And moving on, I think we'll probably be able to talk about just one more thing. I think that the Korean translation institutes also have really taken this lesson to heart. They saw what happened with Please Look After Mom and with Kim Jong-ha's Your Republic is Calling
mm-hmm.
You. And they have seen that these things become successful and they sell the Korean brand. So that when people start reading these works, they become immediately more interested in all Korean literature, and all Korean literature gets the advantage of these massive bestsellers.
So the translators don't necessarily have to pick serious books.
They don't have to. Mm-hmm. And with respect to that, I would talk very briefly, and maybe we'll come back to this next week, about the fact that there's a new director of LTI Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Kim Song-kun was announced last week, and he has said all the right things so far in his interviews. He seems really, really clearly aware of the two things. One, that some of the things that had been translated were difficult in English for English language readers to understand.
And
uh-huh. Second, the importance of marketing. And he's been the director of the Seoul National University Press, the Seoul International Forum for Literature, and the International Association of Korea Studies. I should also say he's an English literature expert, which means that he doesn't just know what it's like on the Korean literature side of things, but he has a sense for how things will be, I hope he has a sense for how things will be received
by the English reader,
which I think mm-hmm. is absolutely brilliant. And here's a quote from him from the newspaper. What local critics consider as an exceptional piece of literary work here may not be regarded the same way overseas. Each and every foreign country has different tastes and interests. I'd like to interact with literary critics and publishers overseas more often and take their opinions into account. We'd like to be more foreigner-friendly.
Mm.
And that quote exactly expresses what happened with Please Look After Mom.
Yeah.
It was done with that kind of thing in mind. And also, when he was announced, I looked him up online, and I discovered this is another thing that makes me feel really pretty good about what's going to happen at LTI Korea, is he's also an extremely talented writer in English. If you Google him, one of the first hits you'll find is him talking about dreams, writing about dreams in English, and it's just well-written, beautiful, lucid prose. So I really think that LTI Korea has been on the right track for 3 or 4 years, has really been changing what it does, and I think that the new director, I think Kim Song-kwon, is going to be another step in LTI's continuing to succeed in translation internationally.
Certainly sounds that way, and of course we always want more Korean authors to be known overseas. Any other news from the world of publishing and literature?
Well, the last thing I'll talk about very briefly is also involves LTI Korea, and this is the excellent news that the Dalkey Archive Press in the United States and LTI Korea are going to work together, and they are on the same day going to publish 25 Korean translations.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
That sounds like a massive project.
It is truly massive. Mm-hmm. It's never been done.
25 books on the same day.
25 books on the same day. Uh-huh. It's a project between Dalkey and the Korean Literature Translation Institute. And one of the things that they're going to focus on is lesser, quote, lesser known and avant-garde works of literature. And lesser known in this context means not keystone works in Korean literature.
Oh.
In other words, not works that have specific intense Korean meaning that may not translate. And the avant-garde thing is pretty interesting too, because that means that they're going to be looking for both newer type of works and works that read as newer. I would say, for instance, that Lee Sung, who is quite famous, Nalge, His Wings, is going to be one of those authors, because even though he was early 20th century, he was extremely avant-garde.
Mm.
And so they're also going to include works by Ko Eun and Oh Chung-hee, just a whole list of famous authors. And the complete list of 25 books will be published early this summer, and in 2 years the books will come out all at once. And I expect to review them all at once on KTLIT.com.
Great, great.
So things are really looking good. This is a very interesting time for Korean literature. Once Valentine's Day is over, I think Korean literature continues to make its progress.
Well, great. It was a very fruitful session we had today for the first time on Main Street Book Club.
Working out the kinks.
Yeah. Yes, look forward to seeing you again.
Mm-hmm. My pleasure. See you next week.
Charles Montgomery, professor in the English Interpretation and Translation Department at Dongguk University, and also founder of ktlit.com with this week's Main Street Book Club. And we're going to wrap up this segment with Whitney Houston singing I Have Nothing. We'll be back with part two of the show after this.